Amen. Thank y'all very much. We appreciate that. So we're singing that Sunday, Mark. Right. Well, we look forward to that, singing that as a congregation for sure. Great song. Aren't you glad that on a rugged cross, Jesus paid it all? Amen. Well, it's an honor to stand before you again tonight and be filling in for Dr. May. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 13. As I mentioned to you last Wednesday, doing a four-part series entitled The Love Book. The Love Book, since we have Valentine's Day in February, and last week was Love Week, and so Lord impressed on me to do this series. And I mentioned to you last week, incidentally, that in the King James Version of the Bible, the word love is mentioned 447 times. So it is a very common theme in God's Word. Last week, we looked at John 3:16. The title of the lesson was A Lesson on Love. And so tonight we're in John chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 31 through 35. John 13, verse 31 through 35. Notice verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each and every person here, those here in this service, and those others in serving and volunteering and other activities. And Lord, as we open your word, pray that we'll open our hearts and be receptive to your word. I pray in the words of John the Baptist that I will decrease and you will increase. Lord, just speak through me. Give me the words to say. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure all of you are familiar with the Peanuts comic strip. Charles Schulz was the creator and author of the Peanuts comic strip, and his first comic strip appeared on October 2nd, 1950. From 1950 until the year 2000, there were a total of 17,897 comic strips that appeared in local papers. And the Peanuts comic strip has been regarded as one of the most popular comic strips. One of the most popular Peanut comic strips among those almost 18,000 comic strips appeared on November 12, 1959. It was a four-frame or four-panel comic strip, and it was involved a conversation between Lucy and her brother Linus. Lucy says to Linus, "You a doctor? Ha! That's a big laugh. You could never be a doctor. You know why? You know why? Because you don't love mankind. That's why." And as Lucy is walking off, Linus yells back at Lucy, "I love mankind. It's people that I can't stand." I'm sure all of us can understand this statement and relate to the feelings of Linus expressed here. You know, in life, it's easy to love mankind or all of humanity as a whole, but there are always individual people that get on our nerves and we just can't seem to like, no matter how hard we try. Here in this passage, we find Jesus talking again about the subject of love. Here he gives a command, not a suggestion, not an option. He gives a command here on the subject of love. He commands us that we are to love. We are to love not the world, not humanity, not mankind, not all of them out there, but he tells us here we are to love one another. As believers, Jesus instructs us to love individual people. Let's set the scene here and give a little background, talk about what's taking place here in chapter 13. In chapter 13 through chapter 17, we see what is referred to as the private ministry of Jesus. Jesus has now retreated from the large following that he had. He's retreated from the large crowds that would gather around Jesus. And so now, here in chapter 13, it is Jesus and his disciples only in the upper room. They were observing or taking part in the Passover meal. And while they did that, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. In just a few more hours, Jesus will be arrested. And a few more hours after his arrest on Friday, he will be crucified on a cross for all of our sins. But before his arrest, before his crucifixion, he spends time in these four chapters teaching and giving his disciples instructions. Here in this passage that we read tonight is the subject of love. And I want you to notice something. We're going to break down this passage here about love, but notice the placement of where Jesus talks about love and commands his followers to love one another. We see it sandwiched between two conversations or two events here as Jesus is gathered with his disciples. We see, first of all, prior to verse 30, we see Jesus make mention of the fact that one of those disciples will betray him. One of those disciples will betray him to the Roman soldiers and the Jewish leaders, and it will lead to the arrest of Jesus. Then after this passage we're looking at tonight, we see Jesus predict or foretell the apostle Peter denying Jesus. So it's interesting to me that between those two things that Jesus talks about, he talks about his people loving one another. So he talks here about love, and we see here a command to love. So the title of our lesson tonight, a new command, a new command. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, number one, notice a demonstration of love, a demonstration of love. Look back to the beginning of this chapter in verse 3, 4, and 5. Notice what it says. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. It was custom in Bible times for the servant of the house to wash the feet of the guest. It was a job for the lowest servant. Everybody wore sandals in Bible times, and of course, your feet, as you walked around all day, your feet would get dusty and dirty, and if it rained, it would get muddy. So at the end of the day, if you were at a guest house, the job of washing feet was a job for the lowest servant. It wasn't something that friends and family usually did for each other. It was reserved for the servant of the house. And we see here, we know from Scripture here, that certainly or obviously the disciples weren't thinking about washing each other's feet. They had other things on their mind. If you look in Luke chapter 22, you see a shorter version of this story. And in Luke 22, Luke says that in this situation, the disciples are arguing about who will be the greatest. Luke 22, 24 says this, but there was also rivalry among them, speaking of the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So none of the disciples in this situation there in upper room, none of the disciples were willing to do this job of a lowly servant and wash feet. But look at verse 3. Look at what it says there in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands. In other words, God the Father had given all authority to Jesus. Jesus had all authority and all power. As we used to sing as children, Jesus has the whole world in his hands. Amen. He has all authority, all power. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords getting ready to wash dirty feet. This is the sinless Son of God doing the job of a lowly servant. Listen, this was a demonstration of selfless love here by Jesus. How are we supposed to love? We're to love with a selfless love. This was an example, not just for the disciples, but for you and I as well. This is a demonstration for the church of today. The master becoming the servant, and he gives us a powerful example of humility and selfless love for us to follow. Think about it. Listen, can you imagine being in that upper room, you and the other disciples and Jesus? Now, these disciples, the Jewish leaders and the non-believers, they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But these disciples in that upper room, they were believers. They recognized and understood Jesus to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And there they are in this intimate setting with Jesus, and Jesus begins to wash feet. How would we react to that? What would you think about that if Jesus grabs your dirty feet and a basin and water and begins to wash your feet? I would be shocked. I would be just amazed that Jesus would do such a thing. Now, don't look all holy at me now. Y'all probably would ask Jesus for a pedicure or something, you know. Wash your feet. Jesus, can you massage there a little bit there on the bottom of my foot? Jesus, a demonstration of selfless love, washing feet. But listen, listen, church, listen. If you think that is something, that demonstration, that illustration, just think about a few hours later, the Roman soldiers will be driving spikes into the feet of Jesus. The Roman soldiers will be driving spikes into the feet of Jesus. Nobody's washing his feet. They will drive spikes into his feet and drive spikes into his hands, and they will nail him to a cross, and they'll raise him up on that cross for all the world to see. It says here in this passage, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments. In other words, he took off his robe. That is an illustration, that is a reference to the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the seat where he was seated at the right hand of God. He laid aside his robe of royalty and majesty and left the throne room of heaven to come into this sin-filled world to die for all our sins. The ultimate demonstration of humility and selfless love. And Paul said, In Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, he said this. Verse 7 says, again, talking about Jesus taking the form of a servant. Verse 8, it says, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This ultimate example of humility and selfless love, and Paul also says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you also. Oh, listen to me, church, listen. I submit to you today, based on the authority of God's word, that what a difference it would make in the churches of America today if we would set aside our pride and have the mind of Christ and follow his example of humility and selfless love. Amen? You know, cell phones are common today. Everybody has a cell phone. And you know, you can do a lot of things with cell phones. I guess all cell phones will take a picture, a photo. I read the other day that there are 92 million selfies taken per day. With the arrival of cell phone with a camera, everybody now takes a selfie, right? You know, a selfie is when you take your camera, turn around to yourself, take a picture of yourself. We have a new word now, a selfie. There are 92 million selfies taken every day. On average, individuals spend 54 hours per year taking selfies. That's a sad commentary on our society today, isn't it? Amen. But that's a illustration, that's a commentary on who we are and where we are as a people. Let's be real. We live in a self-centered society. Because of our sin nature, it makes us more concerned about self than we are about others. But my friends, that is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. The Bible says again in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul says this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. This is a powerful demonstration of selfless love. Before we go to point number two, we got to hurry. Let me point out something to you here. This washing of feet, an example of humility and selfless love. Notice something interesting here, that Jesus washes the feet of disciples, including Judas. Including Judas. You know, I thought he could have waited till Judas left, then get out the basin and the towel and go to washing feet. Judas was a false Christian. He wasn't a believer. He betrayed Jesus. Oh, listen, you know what that tells me? We can't play favorites, amen, church. Right? We got to love everybody. We got to demonstrate humility and selfless love to everybody. We can't pick and choose. Jesus washed the feet of his followers and even the one that betrayed him. So we see here not only the demonstration of love, but moving on, number two, notice the declaration of love. The declaration of love. Look at verse 34. Here we go. Notice he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. There it is. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now look back up. Look back up at verse 31. Notice what it says. So when he had gone out, that's referring to who? Referring to Judas. When Judas left, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now, little three-letter word, But that is a mighty, powerful, important word. You see, in verse 21 through 30, we talked about what Jesus said, referring to the fact that one of them men's going to betray him. He said, if you're going, the one that's going to betray me, go do what you got to do. And Judas left. He's gone. That false Christian is no longer there. It's Jesus and his true followers. And Jesus says, now. You see, this is an important transition point. This is a transition point. This is a turning point in this process of Jesus going to the cross. Judas is gone. Now it's Jesus and his true believers. So this message is for the church. Now he's talking to church folks. And he says here, now Jesus can pour his heart out into his own. He can instruct and teach and invest himself into his own. Now Jesus can look to the cross. He says there, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. Now his focus is turning to the cross, and his focus, he knows he's going to die on the cross, but his focus is on glorifying God the Father. And I submit to you this evening that that should be our focus as well. Glorifying God. That is our purpose in life, is to glorify God. Our focus should not be on our bank account. Our focus should not be on having the finest clothes or the biggest house. Our focus should not be on being the most popular or being the best influencer on TikTok. Our focus, our purpose is to glorify God, following the example of Jesus here. In chapter 17, as I mentioned, chapter 13 through 17 is regarded as the private ministry of Jesus. It's Jesus and his disciples in 13 through 16. And then in chapter 17, Jesus goes by himself to pray. He's spending time in prayer. He's arrested in chapter 18. But just prior to his arrest, which he knows he's coming, he prays that God will be glorified. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, what is it, church? Do it for the glory of God. But notice the flow of this passage. Notice the flow of this passage here, what Jesus is saying. Judas is gone. Jesus is saying, now let us get down to business. Now let God be glorified. He goes on to say, I'm leaving, you can't come, but now here is a new command. Now here, for the church folks, for my followers, for my believers, not the lost world, for my followers, is a new command. So what does he mean by a new command? Why would he use that phrase? Why would he call this direction to love one another a new command? The concept of love was not new at this point. You can turn back to the Old Testament and read about love and instructions on love and biblical application about love. For example, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. This word new here in the original Greek language means a new application. This is a new application, a new use for the concept of love, if you will. This is love one another in the church. Following his example of humility and selflessness, Jesus says, this is what y'all have got to be doing, loving one another. I read a story online the other day about something that I never heard before, a phrase, two-word phrase, weasel words. Have you ever heard of weasel words? I came across this, weasel words, so I wrote down a definition of weasel words. Weasel words, it says, is an informal term for words and phrases aimed at creating an impression that something specific and meaningful has been said, when in fact only a vague or ambiguous claim has been communicated. An example of weasel words would be in advertising. In advertising. Have you ever heard the phrase used for a product that's for sale? New and improved. New and improved, that's supposed to get us all excited and just run out, want to go buy that product, right? New and improved. You ever thought how that is a contradictory term? If it's improved, then that means it existed before. It can't be new, right? But those are just hopped up words, ambiguous term, a term that has no meaning here, a vague term, to get us hyped up to go out and buy a product. And I submit to you, listen to me, church, these words here by Jesus are not weasel words. Jesus is not being vague, is he? This is not an ambiguous statement. He is being specific. He gives his followers, he gives church folks specific instructions to love one another. So we see here, we got to move on, got to hurry. We see here the demonstration of love. Number two, the declaration of love. And now, number three, the design of love, verse 35. By this we all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Listen, this is the plan for the church. This is the blueprint for success in the church. We said we're to glorify God. That's our purpose. Here is one way. Here is one way to love one another in the church. We're to love one another, as Jesus says here, so the lost world will see that we belong to Jesus. My friends, we live in a society today that is so divided in every area of life. There is so much division in our country today, even in the church. But if we follow this new command, this will bring unity to the church. This is a formula for unity, to love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. This unity and humility by loving one another is a sign or a billboard to lost people about our church. It's the best advertisement we can have to the outside world. Here it is. Listen, John 17, 20, 21. I mentioned a minute ago that Jesus goes away to pray in John 17. He prays for himself, prays for disciples, and then he prays for the future church. Here we go right here in verse 20 and 21. He says this, I do not pray for these alone, referring to those disciples, but also for those who believe in me through the word. He was praying then for you. I pray not only for my disciples here now, but I pray for those that will come, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be one in us, listen, that the world may believe that you sent me. Real quick, one more illustration. I read about a kiss-a-thon that took place in 2013. Anybody ever been in a kiss-a-thon? No? Well, there was a kiss-a-thon that took place in 2013 in Thailand, and the winning couple, they were entered into the Guinness Book of World Records. The winning couple kissed for 58 hours, 35 minutes and 58 seconds. And they actually won because one by one, all the other couples fainted. Jesus expressed his love, demonstrated his love, first of all, by washing feet. Jesus demonstrated his love the next day by dying on the cross for our sins, for all of mankind. And before he went to the cross, he asked all of us to love people, to love each other. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much for this scene here in the life of Jesus and this story. God, help us to follow and live by this new command to love one another, to love each other in the church. And Jesus said it's by that love for each other that the lost world will see that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.